And once a few, so to speak, as they call them, Chredish Yidden, ultra-Orthodox Jews, came into Rabbi Yoshe Ben, they began lamenting about the great success that the Maskilim are having in the city. The Maskilim were those Jews, so to speak, called enlightened Jews, who believe that that Judaism has to progress and we have to introduce different changes into the Jewish tradition in order to make it, so to speak, a normal tradition and a normal religion. And they were very successful. A lot of young Jews at those times were leaving the path of their fathers and forefathers and embracing new ideals in life. And these people were complaining to the Rav Rabbi Yoshe Ber, who was known as a deeply pious, religious, and brilliant, extraordinary man. Rabbi Yoshe Ber thinks for a moment. He says, what's the wonder that they're successful? Emes is always victorious over Sheker. Truth is always more powerful than falsehood. They're looking at Rabbi Yoshe Ber. What is he suggesting? That with their ideal in life is truth? This is coming out of the mouth of a Rav Soloveitchik. So Rabbi Yoshe Ber smiles and I'll explain you what I mean. They mean it be'emes. Their heresy, so to speak, their secularism, they mean be'emes. They really believe in it. That's who they are. That's what they want. But your religion is with sheker. It's with sheker. It's not true. And emes is more powerful than sheker. When one is in touch with his nefesh Bahamas, that's his emes. Olam Hazeh, unfortunately, is by us emes. But the Avos Hashem that we experience at unique times is that emes. If that would be emes, what happens after davening? What happens when you go out to the world? Why is it gone? Why is it dissipate? So the Alter Rebbe says, by a tzaddik, you're dealing with emes lamita, you're dealing with the truest manner of truth. By a benini, it seems that there's no avodas emes here. There's no emes. Even by davening, the Ava doesn't reflect his real state. So the Alter Rebbe says no. The Alter Rebbe says no. Legabe madregas habeninim. It's emes. Relative to the beinini, this is true. And we can define the Ava that they experience by their tefillah as being part and parcel of the Svas Emes Tikkun Laad. Why? So the Alter Rebbe says, since they have the power to reawaken this Ava every day by davening, through proper preparation, this demonstrates that there is a grain of Emes in it. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? The love that Beinoni experiences by davening is not a sudden high, not a sudden experience. There are certain people that they're sitting on a couch one evening and they are suddenly overtaken by a mystical or spiritual experience. There are some people that they hear a melody, they read a story, they experience something in their life, they hear a lecture, and as a result of that, or as it can happen just out of nowhere, they're walking in the street and suddenly they are overtaken by a sense of idealism, by a sense of apparently genuine feeling of spirituality. They celebrate godliness at that time. That's not what happens to the bandit. It's not a sudden high that's gone and then an hour later it dissipates. The Beinoni doesn't reach this state of Ava circumstantially, like a dream, a fantasy, it comes and it goes. The Beinoni experiences it on a daily basis. He experiences it every day by davening. So what does that mean? He experiences it every day. It's not just a sudden thing that has been induced upon him by an artificial element. It means that it is connected to him. It cannot be deemed as something that's totally outside of his experience. The problem of the Beinoni is that he cannot change his whole essence. He has enough Shabbos. So therefore he can't experience this feeling constantly. But the very fact that he has the ability to reawaken it and get in touch with it every day demonstrates that it's not sheker. If it would have been totally divorced from him, if it would have been totally disconnected from him, if it's not him, v'haraya, after davening it's gone, how can he tomorrow again tap into it? How can he access it tomorrow? The fact that he can access it tomorrow means that during the whole day, even not by davening, he is in such a state of mind which allows him potentially to recreate that state every day. What does this mean? The Beinoni is not just an individual who doesn't sin. As we discussed, the Beinoni's awareness of what's right and what's wrong in life, of what's true and what's untrue in life, is so powerful, so strong, that at certain times, he can tap into a deeper aspect in himself and really experience a love towards Hashem by davening. Why davening? Davening has two elements. A, mumayla, there is an eis ratzon. Spiritually, there is a unique energy by davening. There is a unique energy in the universe that is conducive for an emotional relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And B, davening is a time where he separates himself from the materialistic hustle and bustle of the universe, and he devotes time for meditation and contemplation. So therefore, davening is a propitious, auspicious time for him to do it. But the very fact that he can recreate this state by davening means that all day there is something by him. There is always something within him. V'haraya, every single day he re-experiences the sava. It's not just happened. It didn't just happen by coincidence. It's a systematic ahava. However, this perpetual state that he experiences all day is not something which allows a constant ahava to Hashem, because he has an nefesh bahamis and those basic instincts he cannot transform, he cannot metamorphosize. This natural, perpetual state can express itself in a conscious ahava, overwhelming love to Hashem, only by the time of davening. By a tzaddik, this perpetual state is always, because there's no other nefesh bahamis. By a beinoni, this constant truth expresses itself in ahava by davening. And therefore it enters the realm of svas emes tikkun lahad. How can a beinoni recreate the state of emotional wind? You can't recreate it. It's not an easy thing. You have ahava Hashem. Ahava is an emotional thing. Because a beinoni, through his deep awareness all day long, has the ability that if he sets himself apart time for meditation, with addition to the fact that tefillah is an eis ratzon, he can recreate such a holistic, uncompartmentalized personality. That proves that there's an emissary. There's a nitzchias. But if this is the case, so why, relative to the tzaddik, it's not emes? Well, the Rebbe began that legabi madregas hatzadikim, it's not avoidas emes. Only relative to the beinoni, it's emes. Or to put it differently, how can we understand that something is sheker and emes simultaneously? Relative to the tzaddik state of mind, it's false. Relative to the beinoni state of mind, it's emes la'amitai. It's the truest manner of truth. What is emes? Is emes relative or is emes absolute? Apparently, emes is absolute. But over here, the Alter Rebbe is making some type of distinction where, concerning the tzaddik state, relative to the tzaddik state, it's sheker. It's not emes. But nevertheless, legabi madregas habeinim, it's not just emes. It's emes lamitai. So this, the Alter Rebbe will address presently. But in order to understand this next piece in Tanya, it's a very profound shtickle section, and I just have to give one preface. Taking this idea of emes one step further, the Gemara says, our sages say in several places, one of them is in Yuma, Daf Samach Tes, Chaysamay shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The seal of Hashem is truth. Why is the seal of Hashem truth? Why isn't the seal of Hashem kindness? We find that Hashem is a Baal Chesed. Why isn't the seal of Hashem compassion? Keil Rachem. Why isn't the seal of Hashem awe? Keil Neira. Emes is the seal of Hashem. What's a seal? A seal, especially as it was in ancient times, was, so to speak, some type of signature. In today's day, was something used, it was a means through which a person demonstrated his relationship or her relationship to a specific object. When you had your seal upon it, that demonstrated that it belonged to you. Maybe it belongs to someone else. A seal was unique. A seal, like a signature, every individual has his own seal. No one can copy it. No one can mimic it. So therefore, a seal indicates its exclusive connection and relationship to you. Hashem's seal is emes. Every other aspect of Hashem's reality, every other attribute that Hashem emanated from Himself, is an attribute that can be mimicked, that can be copied. Maybe in a very poor way, but it can be copied through someone else, through creatures, through the inhabitants of our world. The only aspect, the only dynamic, the only reality that is the exclusive province of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and no one can even copy, no one can reproduce in the most, even in the most poorest manner, is emes. Why? Because emes you can't copy. If you copy it, it's not truth. But why don't human beings have emes? But in light of the above, we'll understand it very clearly. This table in front of me is here. It exists here. What do you think? Huh? Yeah, it exists. Huh? Looks like it exists. It exists. But emes, does it truly exist there? He says yes, you say no. You see what happens with emes. Apparently, it's be'emes here. At least from the human perception, it's here. But one second, let's contemplate a moment. In light of the above definition of emes, can you say that the table truly exists here? Let me ask you a question. Is it possible that the table should not stand in this place? Or it's impossible? You can come right now, pick up the table and put it somewhere else, right? So the table doesn't have to be here. It can be here. It can also be somewhere else. So it's not connected inherently to this place. Tomorrow it will be somewhere else. So even when it's here, of course it's here. But can you say it's be'emes here? Its relationship with this part of the ground in Eichel B'Nachem is an inherent, intrinsic one? No. If it would be inherent and intrinsic, it could not change. The very fact that tomorrow it could be somewhere else, and it will be somewhere else, but even if it won't, the very fact that it can be somewhere else demonstrates that even today when it's here, it's circumstantially here. It's not inherently here. So it's here, it exists. But is it an emissah here? Is it the emissah here? In light of the above definition of emissah? Absolutely not. That's concerning the place of the table. Huh? Atazeh. Atazeh, very good. She's saying, Eibazeh, nothing in life is emes. That's the whole point. That's what we're getting at. This is concerning the location of the table. Now, let's take it a step further. What about the very existence of the table? Does the table exist? Forget about here. Does the table exist, huh? It exists or not?
Yes, no,
yes. Does it exist? It exists. The table exists, yeah? Of course. Be'emes. Of course, be'emes. But one second. What do you mean it exists be'emes? The table has to exist. What happens if the table doesn't exist anymore? What's going to happen? Something's going to happen? It doesn't have to exist. It can exist. It can also not exist. So why is it existing? Its relationship with that word existence is an inherent one or a circumstantial one? Circumstantial. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it should exist. You want the table should be here. You want it to be there, I'll be there. There's no inherent quality that forces us to believe that the table inherently exists. It circumstantially exists. This is concerning a table. Now let's get more serious. What about me and you and you and you and the whole world? Same thing. Do we exist? Yeah, we exist. Do we be'emes exist? What would happen if I wouldn't be here? Okay, there wouldn't be a Shia Sunday morning, but besides that, what would happen? My relationship with existence is an inherent one. No. Vaharaya, there might be a time I won't exist anymore. So? Fine. So the reason you're saying I was created, yeah, I was created because Hashem wanted I should be created. But is it inherent? Do I have to be here? Because that... Otazay, 1 second. You're saying, why does, when we say that something has to be here, why does it determine that's emes? What does emes mean? Emes means that it's relation, whatever you're saying is an inherent thing, it's not circumstantial. Your relationship with existence is an inherent one or is a circumstantial one? The fact that a table exists is because a table and existence are tied up inherently and intrinsic. Existence equals table, or table equals existence. So why is a table here? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be here. The same is true concerning every human being. The same is true concerning the entire universe. The very fact that you can't, you could be, and you can also not be, means that even when you are here, you're not be'emes here. Your existence doesn't have an emes. It's not, doesn't have an inherent, internal, eternal significance and validity. It comes as a result of circumstances. Hashem wants you to be here, you're here. And if these circumstances are gone, you won't be here, right? Or not. So that means that even when you're here, how deep is your being here? How inherent is your being here? Superficially, ultimately. And Be'emes, the Rambam says this. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, Gevaldik Kavod, right in the beginning of Mishnah Torah. The Rambam in Halacha Gimel of Hilchos HaTorah explains the difference between Hashem and all the creatures of the universe that He created. And He says that if nothing would have existed, if there would have been nothing in existence, Hu levada yiyamatsi v'layiftal hu levitulam, He Himself would exist and He would not be nullified as a consequence of the fact that they will be nullified. Because they all need Him. Shekolanim tzayim tzirichim lay, they need Him for His existence. V'hu baruch hu einit tzarech lehem v'loy lachadam, He doesn't need any one of them, or all of them. Lefichach zog de Rambam, eina mitasai ka amitas echad mehem. Therefore, His truth is not to be compared to the truth of any one of these creatures. Hu shahanavi oimer v'hashem elokim emes. This is pshat zog de Rambam, what the Navi Yirmiyah Yud Yud says, Hashem is true. Hu levadei ha'emes, ve'ein la'acher emes ka mitasai. He Himself is the truth, and nothing else has emes like His emes. What's pshat? This concept has been coined by the medieval Jewish philosophers as the difference between something which is a mechuyev hametzius and something which is efshari hametzius. Efshari hametzius means something whose metzius existence is possible. Mechuyev hametzius means something whose metzius whose existence is mechuyev, is necessary. Or in other words, efshari hametzius means something which exists circumstantially, and mechuyev hametzius something which exists inherently, intrinsically. I still got the gevaldik kavart. We'll go a few minutes late today. I still gevaldik kavart. Yesterday in Pirkei Avos, in chapter 3, there's a Mishnah Dalet. It says, Reb Chanina ben Chachinoy Omer. Reb Chanina ben Chachinoy says, Haneir Belaila, someone who stays up at night. V'hamahalich b'derech chichidi, and he walks alone in the road. U'mefana libo levatala, and he turns his heart towards idleness, towards nothingness, towards vanity. Harezim mischayev benavsha, he endangers his life. Reb Nachman of Breslov interprets the Mishnah thus. Reb Chanina ben Chachinoy says, on a spiritual realm, someone who wakes up by night, night is a auspicious time for meditation. Amahalich b'derech chichidi, and he isolates himself. He isolates himself from the hustle and bustle of the universe. He isolates himself from the indulgence in materialism. Umefane libe levatala, and he takes his heart and he's mevatale to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He nullifies his consciousness, his heart, his personality towards godliness. Harei zem mischayev benafshay. His nefesh assumes the identity of a mischayev. His nefesh strips itself from the identity of an efshari hametzius, and it assumes the identity of a mechuyev hametzius. His soul leaves the identity of a circumstantial reality and it assumes the power and the emes of an inherent reality. As long as he remains in his own character and personality, what are we? Efshari Amitzius, after everything said and done. We're a circumstantial reality, it's not emes. Even when we exist, do we really exist? As mentioned before, not. If he's mefana libei levatala, he becomes an extension and an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Metzius, ha'reizim is chayiv v'nafshi, he becomes a mechuyiv ha'metzius, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mechuyiv ha'metzius. Chaysamei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, that's pshat. The seal of Hashem is emes. Emes can't be copied. Anything but the first cause can't be emes. Everything else is here, why? As a result of the first cause. If the first cause, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would not want it to be here, it wouldn't be here. So it's not emes. Even when it's here, it's not emes. So that's why the only seal that's exclusive, that remains exclusively in the province of Hashem is emes. Everything else, chesed, exists by us also. It's not like Hashem's chesed. It's much more inferior. It pales in comparison. It's finite versus infinite. But something, some type of projection is here. But emes, emes is one. Emes is exclusive. That's what emes is. So now, we come back to the Beinoni. We're trying to understand what type of emes does the Beinoni experience in his life. So on one hand, we say that relative to the tzaddik, it's not emes. Relative to the Beinoni, it's emes lamiti. What's going on here? So what the Rebbe says. We'll conclude the perek and then we'll conclude. Listen. Kihine midas emes hi midas shel Yaakov. Truth is the attribute of Yaakov. Hanikra briach hatichon hamavriach min hakotza el hakotza. As the pasuk says, not, I'm sorry, which is called, Yaakov is called the briach hatichon, the middle bolt, the middle bar, which penetrates, which secures everything from end to end. In Zohar, Avraham personifies chesed, the attribute of chesed, love. Yitzchak gvura, awe, discipline. Yaakov emes, or tiferes. And the Zohar brings the pasuk from Micha, titin emes li Yaakov chesed l'Avraham. Emes is identical with Yaakov. Yaakov personifies emes. And the Zohar explained this is the spiritual meaning in the Briya Chatichain of the Mishkan. The Mishkan had krashim, beams, planks, and the brichim, the bars, or the bolts, connected the krashim, the beams together, and held them together firmly. So there were brichim on the top that were several pieces, two pieces that came from both sides. They were put in, placed on outside of the bars through rings, and they were connected. Then there was a briach haticha, which went through a hole that was made in the middle of the krashim, and it was one briach that went from one end of the wall to the end, other end of the wall. So the Zohar says that is what's unique about midasi shel emes. It's the briach haticha, which goes min hakotza el hakotza. What does it mean? Meirayim ha-mailus ha-madregis atzayif kol darg. This means that the attribute of truth passes from the highest gradations and levels to the end, to the lowest of all grades. So emes finds itself in every level. Ubechol mailo madrega. In each gradation and level, mavriach toich nekudahem tzoyis. It passes through and it penetrates through the central point of that particular level. Shehi nekudas uphinas midas emes shelah, which is the point and quality of that level's attribute of truth. Truth is in every level. We're in the nekudahem tzoyis of that level. The nekudahem tzoyis, the central point of every level, is the emes of that level. Umidas emes hinachla bli mitzara. Now the attribute of truth is an unbounded inheritance. The Gemara actually says in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yud Ches that someone who is involved in Kol HaMa'aneges HaShabbos, someone who gives delight to the Shabbos, Noisnilay Nachala B'li Mitzar, and we give him an unlimited inheritance. Why? Because it says, Us Tisana Gal Hashem. Vehikafticha al Bamasi Yoretz Vachalticha Nachalas Yaakov Avicha, and the inheritance of Yaakov is an unbounded inheritance. As Benigeya Avraham, his inheritance is bound, is limited. Eretz Yisrael, concerning Kilachol Zarach Etinus Haaretz Hazoyz, this land. Concerning Yitzchak again, it's unlimited inheritance. We find in the Torah that the promise that was given to him was a limited one. Concerning Yaakov, it says, Ufaratzta Yama V'Kedin of Itzafayin of Enagba. You'll spread out all over the place without any limitations, without any boundaries. Yaakov is Emes, so Emes is a Nachal Abli Mitzara. V'Ein Lashir L'mayla Adreim HaMailos. The attribute of truth has no upper limit. It extends to the highest levels. V'chol ma'ilus u'madregis shalamata, and all lower gradations and levels, heim ka'ayin l'gabi ma'ilus u'madregis shalamailamah, are as nothing compared with those superior to them. Ki yadua l'yoidei chen, as is known to those familiar with esoteric wisdom, chachman istara, kabbalistic wisdom, shepchinas reish u'meichin, Shal madregis tachtainos, hein lamata mibchines akvayim viragli madregis al yonis man. That the quality, which is the head and the intellect, the highest level, within lower grades, is inferior to the souls and feet, which means the very lowest level within the higher grades. So the highest level of the lower world pales in comparison to the lowest level of the next world. Ukamaimir Azal, as our sages say, in Gemara Daf Chagiga Daf Yidgimer Amar Aleph, Ragle Hachayis Kineged Kulam, the feet of the angelic beings called Chayis surpass all the levels lower than them. The Gemara says over there that the Mahalich, the journey between earth and heaven, is 500 years, between every heaven and the next level of heaven is 500 years, and so on and so forth. And then you have on top of the heavens Chayis HaKadosh and the Ragli HaChayis. Just the feet of the Chayis are connected Kulam, are all the earth and all the heavens that are under it. In other words, even the lowest level of the highest level of the Chayis, of the higher reality, surpasses and transcends far and beyond the highest level of the world that is lower than it. What is the Alter Rebbe saying here? Briefly, the point Alter Rebbe is conveying is thus. Emes equals eternity. Emes equals an existence that is absolute, inherent, and unequivocal. If an existence doesn't have any of these qualities, it's not an emesdic existence, as discussed above. Thus, the only emes is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Godliness, Gatlichkeit. That is the only thing that is really emes. Everything else is not emes. Everything else exists. It might look very powerful. It might have a powerful veneer. But ultimately, it has its subjective limits, its relative. It's relative to this situation, to this reality, to this circumstance. It's not absolute, it's not emes. But since Hashem is the one that created every single one of these worlds and realities and perceptions and creatures, so there is a part of His absoluteness that is etched within every single world and reality. There is a part of His unequivocal, intrinsic, inherent being that exists within every world. There is a certain emes, there is a certain absolute legitimacy in every single reality. That is called the nekudah hamtzayus of that reality. The central emes, absoluteness of that particular reality. However, the lower reality, relative to the higher reality, is absolutely insignificant. So the emes of that reality is also insignificant. because the whole level is insignificant. Thus, we have this interesting apparent dichotomy concerning the tzaddik and the beinoni. The tzaddik experiences emes, real emes. The beinoni experiences emes only relative to his own level. Relative to the tzaddik, he doesn't have avas Hashem all day. But the Alter Rebbe is saying in his world, he touches the nekuda hemtzayis. He touches the central point. Since he touches the central point, he has a contact with emes. Although relative to the tzaddik, it's not emes. What does this mean? So I want to illustrate it on a psychological level. I think it'll be much easier to understand. With a story. There's a professor in Ben-Gurion University, in Be'er Sheva University in Israel. His name is Professor Velvel Green. He grew up, he lived in Minnesota for many years. He wasn't an observant Jew. And then he slowly began studying Yiddishkeit until he became a Baal Tshuva. This was in the 60s. And it took quite a few years. He did it slowly, which is healthy. He studied slowly and he began to embrace one mitzvah, another mitzvah, until he became a total, full-fledged, observant Jew, a Baal Tshuva. And he describes how one day, it was in the early stages when he just started to keep kosher on a serious level, he was visiting Chicago at an academic conference. He didn't eat all day. And he came to the airport, and in the airport there was a hot dog stand. I forgot the name of the hot dog stand, but it was one of the best hot dog stands in America. And for years and years he traveled to Chicago very often. In the airport, he always had a couple of frankfurters from this stand because they were delicious. They were simply delicious. This was the first time he was in the Chicago airport that he was keeping kosher. And he was starving. And he walks by the hot dog stand and he sees over there the frankfurters are glaring in his eyes. Their odor, their smell was gewaldig. Everyone was enjoying it. And he naturally went over to have a frankfurter. He was so hungry, he didn't have anything to eat. Then he reminded himself, you have to eat kosher. You're not allowed to eat this hot dog. Then he thought, come on, give me a break. Give me a break. Does this big God, wherever he is, really care if Velvel Green, standing in a Chicago airport, didn't eat all day, will chop one hot dog? What's going to happen? It's going to be an atomic explosion. Who cares? So, I mean, it doesn't really seem realistic. There was a deep conflict and battle within him. Then he decided, no, this is what Hashem wants. I shouldn't eat this frankfurter, this delicious frankfurter. I'm not going to eat it. And he didn't eat it. A short while later, he visited the Rebbe. And he related to the Rebbe the story. The whole story from beginning to end. His dilemma, his struggle, and his final decision. And the Rebbe said, at that moment, you began experiencing a true relationship with Yiddishkeit. That moment. For him, in his life, the hot dog was a very real thing. It was a very real thing. That is what he wanted. That is what he desired. Nevertheless, he didn't consume it. Why didn't he consume it? Because Hashem didn't want. So over here, Yiddishkeit and godliness became a real thing. It became a real reality. It dealt with something very real in his life. And by him not doing it, he created a real relationship with Yiddishkeit. Or as they tell the story about in Russia, there was once a teacher who was trying to demonstrate the loyalty of his students. The teacher said, if any one of you would have 100 million ruble, Would you give it away to Mother Russia? All the children's family. Yeah! If any one of you would own the Empire State Building, would you give it away instantaneously to Mother Russia? Of course! Is every single one of you, the teacher continues to ask, ready to give up your pair of jeans to Mother Russia? No one answered. Why? Because this they taka owned. The Empire State Building and $1 million they don't own. This is theirs. Yeah. It's a pair of jeans, but it belongs to them. This is, I believe, what Alter Rebbe is saying. There is emes on every level. What is the emes of every level? The godliness of that level. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu of that level. That is the Nekudah HaEmtzoyis of that level. You on your level can relate to that emes. You can relate to that emes. And when you relate to that emes, it's emes. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emes. Lagabi, a higher level, this emes is insignificant because the whole level is insignificant. But in this level, it's real emes. It's really, really emes. Which means, in the above-mentioned story, it would mean like this. If a Jew who has been frum for 50 years and knows what Yiddishkeit is, if by him, his sacrifice to Hashem would mean that he doesn't eat a hot dog at a Chicago airport stand, it's bad news. If this is basically what it's all about, it's bad news. Why? Because after being trained in another world for so many years, the standards change. And his emes has to be a whole other emes. But in Velvel Green's world, when he didn't need a hot dog, he touched emes. If a tzaddik who doesn't have an nefesh balance, you say, you know what, I touched emes today? I didn't need a hot dog. Or if a guy who's so accustomed to it all the years didn't need a hot dog at an airport, it's not your emes. For him, he transcended his own parameters and he touched the divine. Transcendence can happen on every level. That's what emes is. Emes means transcending your own relative parameters and touching the point of divinity that is etched in every level, which means echoes of the absolute, unequivocal, inherent, intrinsic reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu resound in every perception, in every reality. If in your perception, in your parameter, you transcend your own creature-like parameters and touch the divine, that's emes lamitai. That's an expression of the all-pervading, all-embracing emes. Aye, legabe a higher madrega, it's worthless. It's because a lower madrega, the whole madrega, even the highest part of it, is inferior to the lowest part of the higher madrega. But in that madrega, that is the real emes. In a higher madrega, there is another emes. But in every level, there is the nekuda haemtzayis, which is the emes of that madrega. Thus, we have the tzaddik and the beinin. In the tzaddik's level, godliness is a reality. Godliness is a reality. So for him, someone who experiences the high of spirituality by davening, and not after davening, it's not emes. For him, that would be not emes. That's not called transcending his parameters. That's not called touching the divine frame. But a tzaddik, a beinin, his av is not an emes de kava. In the tzaddik, emes is his constant, perpetual relationship to HaKadosh Baruch. But now let's talk about the beinin. The Beinoni we keep on talking about is the model of the Tanya, is the hero of the Tanya. Why? Because the Beinoni is the man who is etched in an earthly world, who is dichotomized by two perceptions, who is not godly spiritual. The Beinoni is very worldly and suffers from that dichotomy and experiences that dichotomy. And over there he's trying to develop a relationship with godliness. By the Beinoni, touching the divine cannot mean having Avos Hashem all day. That's impossible for the Beinoni. He has enough Shabbamas. We all know that in our life. That will not happen. What is by the Beinoni emes, creating a state of mind and a state of heart, where every day by davening, he can get in touch with that. By him, that's emes lamitai. It's not a fake emes. That's truth. That's the absolute, unequivocal truth. It's inherent truth. It's touching the emes Hashem. The emes that the Rambam describes. Legabi the tzaddik, that's not emes. In the tzaddik's madrega, this is not emes. But emes extends in every level, in every reality, and when you touch in your level, that element, you touched emes. And this means that people are very different. People are very different. You have tzaddikim, you have beinonim, and you have also rishayim. And we all know everyone has their own little world. But when a person in his little life gives away his genes, for a tzaddik to give away his genes, that's not emes, it's a joke. Huh? But for the person who owns the genes, it's nothing. It's gene. What is it? It's an Empire State Building. But it's your genes, yeah? It's your pair of pants. So when you give that away, you touch the nekudah hamtzayis on your level. And that's the gevaldik yechidush of a beinoni. The beinoni is a person who touches absoluteness in the relative level of the relativity of the world. So you have absoluteness, that's the tzaddik. You have total relativity, that's the Rasha. The Beinoni is absolute relativity. Have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.